Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Thank you for making impossible things possible in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace and joy that governs our hearts and minds and feelings and emotions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for defending us against our violent enemies. Thank you for covering us with your wings to shield us from the deadly attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your light that is shining upon our hearts, upon our souls, to reveal your truths to us, to guide us into all righteousness. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us an heart of obedience, an heart that does your word and not just hear your word, but you have helped us to learn to do your will, to learn to do your word, to obey your voice, to obey your instructions. Thank you for helping us to attain this level. We are not just hearers only, but we are doers of your word. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we will be having this class right now, speak to every one of us. Help us to grow in the knowledge of your word. Help us to know you more than before. Give us retentive memory. Do not allow us to forget the things you will be teaching us this evening. In Jesus' name, help us to always remember to apply the knowledge of your word in every situation we find ourselves, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you are going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped. We started to look at work and employment, how the attitude of Christians ought to be concerning work and employment. And we talked about Christians are instructed to do honest work . Tonight we are going to be looking at point B, which is we must keep our priorities straight. We must keep our priorities straight. What are priorities? Our priorities are a list of things you consider very important to you, especially things you feel it is your duty to do, things you can call responsibilities. Yeah. Those are your priorities. Things that you believe it is your duty to do them, maybe on daily basis, maybe on weekly basis, or monthly basis. Those are your priorities. List of important things that you feel you are responsible to. And our topic says we should keep our priorities straight. Keep your priorities. Or we must keep our priorities straight. Or what does that mean? It means you should be committing to those things that are your priorities. Be committed to do them. Be faithful to those things you have listed out that you have to do them every day, those responsibilities, duties, actions, activities that you as a person have listed out that they are important to you. They could be spiritual exercises. They could be many things. Yeah, in as much as you consider those things to be very valuable to your life, calling and destiny, the Bible wants us to be committed to doing those things. Or God wants you to be committed to doing those things. Now, let us look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, take heed, and beware of covetousness. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I'm going to read further. Verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Praise the Lord. I pray you will be rich towards God. In Jesus' name. So we can see here Jesus saying that in verse 15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, from here we can see that covetousness can affect your priorities. When you are covetous, it can make you to not set your priorities straight. I know of some brethren who were very committed to the things of God. But the moment they started to do a business, the business seems to be booming, or the business seems to be yielding a lot of profit and income, they said to withdraw their commitment to the things of God, because they became covetous. They couldn't leave the business. Yeah, they don't need to leave the business permanently. But there are times that you just need to stop whatever you are doing in your business platform and concentrate on the things of God But these people could not do that. I mean, those brethren could not do that. So they allowed the business to shift their focus from what God wants them to be doing. And that is not right. That is disastrous, the soul. So we can see from this passage, the story of this rich man. He already have a lot of bountiful harvest. He's already a rich person, but there was a year the things he planted in his farm bring forth great increase beyond his expectation. So he was surprised. So don't forget that this man is already rich. So which means he already have a lot of properties, or maybe I should say he have a lot of farm products or produce that worth a lot of money. So he already have his barn full with many things. So he was already rich, but he wasn't rich towards God. He was only rich toward himself. He was not rich towards God. So which means he did not partner with God with his riches. So there was this year, all that he planted in his farm produced a lot of harvest. And he was so happy because he wasn't expecting that he would realize such amount of harvest. So he said, what am I going to do? He said, all right, I'm going to tear down the barn. A barn is where you store all the goods you have harvested, the fruits you have harvested. He said, I'm going to tear down my barn. I'm going to build a bigger one so that I'll be able to store up all these fruits that I was able to harvest. And I'll be able to enjoy for many years because I'll be able to make a lot of money for a long time from this harvest. But God came to him in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He was only thinking about himself. He was covetous. He was only thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about the poor and the needy. He was only thinking about himself. So my question is, when you consider the little thing you have, do you think about God? when you consider the amount of money in your account or in your purse? Do you think about God? Or are you rich toward God? Because this man wasn't rich toward God. So as a Christian, we must set our priorities straight. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you want to please God, please God. Yeah, and if you don't want to, don't. Yeah. Let God know where you stand. Yeah, get rid of everything in your life that is affecting your commitment to God. Get rid of covetousness, greed, the love of money. Get rid of distractions. There is hindering your commitment to God. I pray that you'll be able to do this. In Jesus' name. Let us, in that verse 15, Jesus said, the life of a man does not consist in the things that that man has. Your life is not in what you have. But many Christians have put their lives in what they have. Yeah, they have allowed what they have, their possessions, properties, to change their lives to the point that is what they live for. They live for those things. They live to make more money. They do not live for Jesus. They do not live to please Jesus, to serve Jesus. But they now live to acquire earthly things. Mind you, Jesus said, your life does not consist in the things you possess. So if you put your life in the things you possess, you are going to perish together with those things. Because eventually the hunger of God was kindled against this rich man. Because he has buried his life into the things he has. So God destroyed his life and all of those things he had, he couldn't take them with him to the grave. So don't put your life in anything in this world. Let your life be in Jesus and for Jesus. Don't live for material things. Don't live for material things. Don't live to acquire material things. Set your priorities right. The Bible says, seek ye first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Do that. Stop seeking for earthly things. I pray you'll be wise. Now, let us move on. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 35. Open your Bibles. This is Bible study. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 25. Verse 35. Not 25, 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is Apostle Paul charging and encouraging the ministers in the church he visited. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't forget, our topic says we must keep our priorities straight. And I believe that your priority I believe your priorities are to please God, to serve God, and to know God. Yeah, if you have other priorities that is contrary to those things I've mentioned, or the things I just mentioned, to please God, to know God, to serve God, then maybe you are not yet a Christian. Yeah, because a true Christian will not live for themselves, but for Christ. Amen. So here, Apostle Paul was charging the people, encouraging them that they should support the weak. In all their labors, they should support the weak. If you ask some people, why are you doing this job you're doing? Why are you working tirelessly to make the money you're making? Or why do you want to become a millionaire and a billionaire? You'll see what they would say. Many of them would not say things that are biblical. They only speak of themselves. I want to be rich because I want to be able to have whatever I want, buy whatever houses I want to buy, buy whatever class I want to buy. I'll put my children in good schools. What else? Yeah, I want to be able to wear good clothes. And look more beautiful. Yeah, so many of the answers you will get when you ask people questions like that would center on themselves and not on God. So it shows that their priorities really does not center on Christ. Their priorities does not have Christ at the center. They only care about themselves. And that is very wrong. You should not be like that. Yeah. The Bible says, support the weak. Let us look at it again. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So God wants us to give more and more. Or maybe I should say, He wants us to live a giving life. A life that wants to bless others, help others, strengthen others. Give a life that wants to give hope to the hopeless. That is the kind of life God wants us to live. Because even Jesus said, God will bless us more if we give than if we are always expecting to receive. Your life will attract more blessings if you are the type of person that always wants to give. Yeah, but if you are the type of person that always wants to receive, you always wanted to receive, your life will not be able to attract more blessings. So these are divine principles that the Bible has laid down for us to follow. Now you might be thinking, if I'm always about giving and giving and giving, won't I give everything and maybe eventually I will have nothing? Yeah, if I'm always giving out, won't there be a time where I would have given everything and there would be nothing left for me? Well, that doesn't happen to real Christians when they are giving with the right motive. Yeah, because some people, their giving is not with the right motive. Yeah. They have their motive behind the giving is wrong. But that is why God is not blessing them. But when your motive is right, and then you continue to give and to give and to give and to give, you will not lack. You will always have something to give. So there will not come a time that you will have nothing to give. So God will make sure you have been blessed, because God wants you to not stop giving. That is why God blesses us, because He does not want us to stop giving. So which means there will never be a time that you will run dry. If you want to prove what I'm saying, start giving. Then you will understand. It's a practical thing. If you want to prove that what I have just said is true, you just start giving. And when I say start giving, I mean don't have the mind of stopping. Do it with the mind of, I will continue to do this thing, and I'm not going to stop. So which means, even if it looks like I think my bank account is going down, is running dry, you still continue to give. Now, so if you start to give in this way, you will never run dry. It will be impossible for you to run dry. Yeah, it doesn't matter which part of the world you are living, which country you are living, or which country you reside. And it doesn't matter the kind of job you are doing, or the amount of salary you are getting. Yeah, and it doesn't matter the economy of the country you are. So if you can make that covenant with your soul and say, I want to live a giving life, and this is what I will be giving, and I'm not going to stop. This is what I will continue to give to God, to the things of God, to the people of God, and I'm not going to stop. You will discover that you will not stop. You will just keep having what to give. You will keep having money to give, because God will keep blessing you. So this is a principle that I've been working for thousands of years. So it is not in your own case that this principle would fail. It has not failed the people that did it in time past. So if it did not fail them, why should it fail now? So this principle doesn't fail. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name. And let us look at Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Yeah, I think we read that last week also. Ephesians 4, verse 28. We're going to read it again. Ephesians 4, 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So this is an emphasis on giving. I mean, this is another emphasis on giving. I have I have seen people who went to get a job just because they wanted to give to the things of God. They already have enough they could live on. Maybe they inherited some properties from their parents. So they already have some resources they could live on. That is, if it were about their feeding, accommodation, they have no problem about that. Yeah, if it were about their clothing, some of them, they even have their own vehicles, cars. Perhaps maybe they inherited that from their parents. I don't know. But these people, they already have what is enough to take care of them. But they know that they need to have more so that they can give to the things of God. So they, because of the things of God, went to pick a job because they want to give to the things of God. Yeah, so which means whatever they earn from that place of work, they don't want to spend it. They just want to hand it over to God. Yeah, and there are people that are doing this. You might not have come across them. But they are on head. There are people like that, Christians. Yeah. So if you let these divine principles govern our priorities. Yeah, even as you are working for your employer, for those of you that are employed, or for those of you that are self-employed, let the principles in the Bible govern your priorities. Demonstrate to God that whatever job you are doing is because you want to serve God through that job. Yeah, so you need to demonstrate it. Now, whatever salary you get is because you want to serve God through that salary. You want to give through it or from it. Yeah, we should not be like that covetous rich man. No, we should not. We should not. I pray that the Lord will help you. First Corinthians. Want to look at 1 Corinthians 7 verse 31. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 31. Yeah, and they that use this word as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Yeah, Apostle Paul said, Let those that use this word not abuse it. For the fashion of this word passes away. Who are those that use this word? Well, I guess every one of us are using this word. If you spend money, you are using this word. If you have a job, you are using this word. So to use this word actually means to benefit from the system of this word. Yeah, whether it is the economy system, the financial system, the labor system, that is the ability to work and get money and get paid. Whatever it is, anything you benefit from the system of this world, the Bible says don't abuse it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Don't abuse the things that you gain from the systems of this world. Glorify God with those things. Glorify God. Honor God. Yeah, maybe you have a qualification. Maybe you went to university. You got some good qualifications. Use it to honor God. Yeah. Don't misuse it. Don't abuse it. There's a reason why God allows you to have certain privileges in this world or certain benefits in this world. Use those benefits, opportunities, privileges. Use them to glorify God. Use them to serve God. Don't abuse them. There are some people who are in a position to give commands, to tell certain people do this. Maybe they are a boss or they are an employer. Or because they have some money and they have some people that are looking up to them. So they feel like now they have the power to have, to do whatever they want. Yeah, I think most rich people used to feel like that. So they used to feel like because they have money, so they have the power to do what they want to certain people, to control some people, abuse some people, hurt some people, manipulate some people. Yeah, because those people are looking up to them for support. So now they feel like, oh, I have the power, I have the money. So I can just do what I want to this person. I can make a promise and not fulfill it. Yeah, so imagine someone promise you that at a certain time, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money. And then you have put all your mind on that promise. Only to discover only to discover that the person never had the intention to actually help you in the first place. Because all of a sudden the person will say, I'm sorry, I don't have it now. Take care of yourself. And then the person just cut the phone and the phone call. And the person who needed the support will become heartbroken, depressed, sorrowful. We shouldn't be like that. I mean, we shouldn't be like those that make promises and not fulfill. Especially when you promise material things. Yeah, it means you are abusing this word. Yeah. You are abusing that privilege God gave you, the opportunity God gave you, because you are not actually better than anyone else. It is God who gave you the opportunity to have whatever you have. So if you let that thing get into your head, the paper money, or whatever is in your account, if you let it get into your head, and then you feel like you can just do as you like, God will deal with you. Yeah, God will deal with you. The Bible says that no one can receive a thing except it is given him from above. No one can receive anything. No one can have properties, become wealthy in this world, if God has not approved it that such people should have such wealth. Yeah. So which means the same God who allowed them to have it can also destroy the world and make them to suffer. Yeah, so we should fear God even as we use this word. We should fear God. If you know you cannot help someone, don't tell them you will help them. Yeah, don't promise to help them. May the Lord help you. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 8. Or let me read from verse 6, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, from verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be dear with content. For we brought nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out. But if you have food, and you have clothes to wear, you have food to eat, you have clothes to wear, thank God for that. contenting. Be contenting. Don't pursue after things that God does not want you to pursue. Don't pursue after material things, material possessions, when God does not want you to do that. Yeah, be contented with what God gives you. Don't waste what God gives you per time. Yeah, some people, they spend lavishly. Whenever God blesses them, they just spend, they spend that blessing lavishly. They waste those resources. And after that, they will now start praying again and say, God, money are finished. Food are finished. God, please. Bless us. Whereas God already have blessed them. Yeah, because God already have calculated, God have calculated how much food they need. Maybe for the space of a month. God have calculated how much they need for certain things. God already calculated those things. And God gave them the amount. So now, when the money came, they began to buy things they don't actually need. They began to spend lavishly. And what God expected, I mean, the money God expected I would finish after 25 days, finished within 5 days. Yeah, according to the budget of God, the money he gave those people was to take them throughout the space of 25 days. But because those people were wasters, and because of their lavish spending, the money finished within 5 days. So now, after the 5 days, they started to pray again and say, God, please, money are finished. Please bless us. Yeah, and then, because God did not answer, they went into borrowing. Yeah, so when the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread, it implies that God is responsible to give us our daily bread. Yeah, so if we can be contented, and if we can be wise in our spending, really we are not going to lack. Because every time God provides, every time he provides, he have already calculated everything that you will need. And he knows that what he has provided is going to really take care of you for a certain period. of time. Now, so if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to govern our spending, we will definitely suffer. Yeah, we will definitely suffer because we will spend money that we're supposed to take care of us in the coming days. Yeah, we would have spent them and would have finished those money before those days come. Yeah, so we have to be contented in your priorities. Be contented. Let contentment to your godliness. Yeah. Don't waste God's resources. It is not everything you like that you have to buy. It is not everything you like in the market that you have to buy. It's not that God don't want you to have some of those things. Sometimes, having those things is not important at that time you wanted to have them. God will still allow you to have them at a future time. But some believers, they just want to have certain things at certain times. Yeah, and they just keep spending and keep spending and they keep spending. Yeah, but then later when they have spent everything and they are now short of money, they'll now be saying, "Pastor, I don't know what is going on in my life. Pastor, it's like there is something in my life that is taking away my money. Yeah, I used to make money, but I wouldn't know what to take them away." It's a lie. Nothing is taking away the money. It is their greed that is taking away the money. But they will talk as if they are innocent, whereas they are not innocent. Yeah, I personally prefer to waste my resources on God and on the things of God than to be buying unnecessary things. Things that I know that I might not even use them for a long time. Yeah, I don't want to buy those things. Yeah. I don't want to buy them. So let us be contented. Yeah. If some of you begin to cut short the amount you spend, maybe every week, or every month, and then you begin to cut away things that you don't actually need, you'll be surprised what you will have left. You'll be surprised. You begin to cut short things that you spend money on that is not so important. You begin to cut off those amounts of money, or how should I say it? You begin to save those money and you begin to refuse to buy those things that you know you don't really need them. and then you begin to set those money apart. If you do that, let's say for the space of a month, you'll be surprised how much you would have saved. You'll be surprised that you would have actually saved a lot of money. I pray that you will be wise. So let our priorities be right. Let us set our priorities right. Let us allow the principles of heaven in the scriptures govern our priorities. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to help us set our priorities straight so that we will succeed and prosper as Christians. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the group, or you can ask me personally. Yeah, don't forget that you can also ask questions even right here on this platform. As the teaching is going on, you can type your questions in the chat section. Yeah, and when I see them, I will answer. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have taught us. Thank you for showing us the need to get it right in our priorities. Thank you for showing us that we should partner with you. We should partner with your kingdom, with our jobs, with our salaries or income, with our time, with our businesses, with everything we do on a daily basis. Thank you for showing us that we need to partner with you with these things. Thank you for showing us that we should serve you with those things, or through those things. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us the dangers in being greedy, being covetous. Thank you for showing us the danger in not having contentment. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to be contented with whatever you give them per time. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that you will be contented with all that God is giving you per time, and that you will be grateful to God for the things He gives you per time. In Jesus' name, I cast out every spirit of murmuring and complaining because you feel like God is not faithful to you enough, or is not taking care of you as he should. Every spirit of ingratitude, complaint, murmuring, every spirit of wanting to blame God, I cast them out of your life right now. In Jesus' name. I pray that in whatever you are doing, whether a spiritual assignment or a secular job, you will have wisdom to glorify God through them. In the name of Jesus. In whatsoever you are doing for a living, I pray that you will be wise to put God first, to put his kingdom first. In Jesus' name. I pray that the Lord help you to serve him with all your strength and with all your might. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will stop serving money with your strength, but that you will serve God with all your strength. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.